Amen. Glad you're here this morning. And we're in our series on our dream scriptures. And I took a break last week for somebody to give you a really good sermon. And so now I'm back. Sorry you got to put up with me this week. And this morning at 9 a.m., preached a little bit different sermon. And so I really want to encourage you, sometime this week, go on the website, go to the podcast, and listen to this morning's sermon. Actually, I just had this huge sermon, and I cut it down in half so I could try to get it in, you know, before, try to get that 9 o'clock service done before 11 o'clock, and actually still cut some stuff out. Mike had to skip some things back there that he followed me pretty well, but I had to cut some things out. But please, go to the podcast sometime this week and listen to the sermon that I preached this morning about peace, about strength. I'm sorry, I'm going to preach peace now, but listen to the sermon I preached this morning about strength, and I encourage you to do that. If for some reason you don't have internet access and you would like for us to get you a DVD or CD of it, I'd be glad to. If you just let us know, we'll be glad to burn you a CD. I don't know that we can do cassettes or 8-tracks anymore, but we can do CDs. Amen? Okay, let me remind you where we're at, okay? Because we took that break last week, so we've done two. We got two more to go. We've done the if part, but we hadn't done the then. Y'all know what an if-then statement is? If-then? You remember back school? You remember math, if, then, you know? And if certain things, you know, certain circumstances, certain things were met, then there would be certain things that would happen. And that's what we've got here with our first two scriptures and our last two dream scriptures. We've got an if, then. We all like to run over here to these. We like to skip the stuff that God requires of us. You know, we don't want to talk about that part. We want to talk about this part. But we've already talked about this part, and I think we're pretty okay with that. I think we're all accepting of these two scriptures, and which is a great thing. You got to have those in your life. But now we get to these. It's kind of the blessing of relationship, or the benefit of relationship. You see, this is the part that is the relationship part, because this tells us really how we view ourselves and our relationship with God. First of all, He's sovereign. We accept the fact, 1 Chronicles 29:11, God is sovereign. He owns everything. He's in charge of it. He owns even your mind. He owns your will. He can make you do anything He wants you to do, but God doesn't do that. He acts like a gentleman. You know, He wants you to do it because you want to do it. But 1 Chronicles 29:11, He's sovereign. And so our relationship with Him, well, that is the fact that we accept that He's sovereign. We don't try to become God. We don't try to make up our own mind, our own way. We're willing to go His way. So that's the first part of this relationship. Second part is what we talked about 2 weeks ago, which is that 2 Chronicles 29:11, that He has chosen us. Okay, so that's the other part. It's not that He's just sovereign and that He's running everything. He's actually chosen us to be involved in doing things, meaning that, like this morning's service and this morning's sermon about the 9 a.m. sermon about strength, is that God doesn't just move in and do everything for us, but He gives us the strength to be able to defeat the giants that are coming into our life. And so we accept the fact that He has chosen us. And this is what our relationship is with God, is that He is sovereign. He's number one. He's in charge. He's making all the decisions. But we also have to side with Him. We have to come along beside Him and say, we want to be a part of this. We actually want to have a relationship. And if we fulfill those two things, that's the relationship part. Then we get to the benefits part. And there are two dream scriptures. This morning we're handling Psalm 29:11. And these are the benefits, the blessings and the dream that comes. And so this morning we're talking about blessings. At 9 a.m., we had to break this down because it's blessings of peace and strength. Had to break this down because it's just way too much stuff to preach. And so at 9 a.m. I preach strength. Please go to the podcast. Please listen to that because I think you really need to hear. Especially you singles, you guys really need to hear something I said toward the very end of the message. You need to hear something I said, please, okay, podcast. Would you turn to first the next to you and say, listen to the podcast? Just turn to and say, listen to the podcast, okay? You really need to hear. Some of you really need to hear that. And if you don't have internet, let me know. We'll get you a CD, okay? Because you really need to hear that. Let's read this. Let's read our Psalm 29:11 scripture together. And we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get into the blessings of peace. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Let me tell you this before we pray. Dream, okay? We're going to get to that next week. This whole thing about Church 29:11 is that we are not living, people in the community, people in this world are not living the dream that God has for them. It's not just an idea. It's not just a thing God thinks, you know, this would be good in your life. God actually has a dream for your life. And we're not living the dream. Well, the dream I want to tell you about right now in this verse, God wants you to live in a peace like you have never ever experienced before. You know what peace is? And some people misunderstand peace because they think peace is the absence of war. When you don't have war, you have peace. Not necessarily. You can have peace in the middle of war. Thank you for that little head bob there, Missy. I appreciate that. You can have peace in the middle of a battle, can't you? You can have peace. I mean, you can have peace when the whole world is falling down around. That's what God wants. He doesn't, you know, here's what we do. We come to church on Sundays a lot of times like we just want to borrow some peace from God. If I can just borrow enough peace to just make it through a couple more days, then maybe I can get through this week and next Sunday I can borrow some. God doesn't want you borrowing peace anymore. He wants you to own peace. He wants you to have peace. He wants peace to set up residence inside your soul. He wants you to have a peace that even if the whole world crumbles down around you. I mean, if this economy, I mean, if what just happened in Greece, if it happens in the United States of America, if our economy falls flat, I mean, you know, if we're burning dollar bills for heat this next winter, if those kinds of things happen, God wants you to have a peace that still enables you to stand and trust and believe and know that your needs are going to be taken care of. I mean, he's done it over and over and over again through his scriptures. I mean, look at his people. How many times they found themselves in places that the world was literally crumbling all around them, and yet they still had peace. I mean, in the wilderness, it said that he took care of the shoes on their feet, that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out while they were in the wilderness. If he can do that, he can take care of you as well. God wants you to live with a peace like you've never known. Somebody say amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you, and I thank you, God, for the peace that I'm believing to just fill this place right now. God, there are moms, Lord, that need some peace about where their kids are at. God, there are some people right here, God, some couples that need peace about where their relationship and their with their spouse is. God, there are some single adults that they're too big, Lord. They're too bold and brave to admit to us that they need some peace. God, there's some things that are unsettled. They need some peace. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you just fill this place with your peace today. I pray, God, for just, God, help us not to quit borrowing peace. And God, to come and get your peace today, to allow it to just set up inside of us, Lord, and to drive us, to hold us, to sustain us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody agree with that prayer said, amen. Amen. Okay, y'all not going to sleep on me, are you? All right, peace. Blessings of peace. Peace. God gives us blessings of peace. He wants you to live in peace. Okay, let's go back to, now our subject, you remember, was Caleb. So let's go back to some scripture on Caleb. Remember, Caleb was one of the two spies. When the Israelites were on their way to the promised land, God told Joshua to send 12 in. 12 went in, 10 came back with a bad report. They were scared. They didn't have any peace. They didn't have any strength in God. But two, Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. Because of that, God told Caleb, this hill that you've been walking around here on it, here in this promised land is going to belong to you. God promised it to him that day. 40 years later, we get to this verse of scripture. And Caleb is reminding Joshua, my brothers who went up with me, those other 10, they made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me. This is the word that God spoke through Moses to Caleb about this hill country. The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive, Caleb says, for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. He was 40 years old. Now he's 85 years old. 45 years ago, God made this promise. And he says, so now give me this promise, this hill country that God made this promise me 45 years ago. 45 years ago, give me this promise that God made to me then. But here's a problem. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Wait a minute right there. But first, let me ask you this. Who were the Anakites? Giants. Remember? They were this race of people. They were this group of people. They were this clan of people that were just large and 7, 8, 9 foot tall, some of them. A lot of people say this is probably where Goliath came from. You know, his family came. He was part of that family. And there were these giants were in the land. Some of them were, you know, 7 foot tall. Is that tall? Yeah, it's tall to me. It's real tall to some of you, right? Because size and, you know, height, that's kind of a relative term. I mean, you know, for some of us, 6 foot is tall, you know, and for kids, 4 foot is tall, you know, and so it's a relative thing. And the Israelites, they weren't real tall people, so when they saw these 7 footers and 8 footers and maybe some 9 footers and maybe even a 10 footer, some people say Goliath was, and when they saw them, they said, hey, these are giants. Well, these giants were in the land. They were in his land. They were in his on his property. But it said there at the end, he said, the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Got a problem. God's given me a vision, but God's going to help me do it. There were giants in the land. Somebody describe a giant to me. What's a giant? Big, very tall person, right? But that's what the word means, isn't it? I mean, when we say a giant person, we're talking about a tall person. When we say a giant problem, we're talking about a big problem. So first of all, giants are big. Okay, we all understand that. So here's the question I've got for you right now. What's the giant in your life today? I want you to answer that, not out loud. You don't have to, and you don't even have to tell your spouse or your buddy sitting next to you or any of those things, but I want you to answer that question in your heart right now. I want to know, what is the giant in your life right now? What's the giant? Financially, or maybe there's a giant in your marriage. Maybe there's a giant in your home, in your relationship with your kids, relationship with your parents. What's the giant? Come on, answer that. I want you to get something in my... These are the giants in my life that I'm fighting right now. Physical ailment, some kind of disease or something that's going on. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's the lack of a job. What's the giant that is in your life today? Maybe there's some dissettlement. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's some things that you've done that nobody knows about. It's under the blood and you hope nobody ever learns about it. But it's something that plagues you every day. Every time you think about it, you just wince because you remember it. Even though Jesus says he's forgotten it, it's under the blood, you remember it. What is the giant that's in your life today? And the second thing I want to ask you is, how big is that giant? How big is it? Is it something that is so big that it is basically stopping you from even functioning on a daily basis? Is it something that is so big that it keeps you from accomplishing what God wants you to? Here's what happens with the giants in our life. If we allow them to become so big in our life, too big in our lives, what will happen is it will keep us from getting anything else done in our life. I mean, these giants can become so huge that we can't do it. We can't function anymore. We got to have some help just, you know, kind of getting up in the morning and tying our shoelaces. How big is the giant in your life is what I want to ask you right now. You know what? It's probably not as big as the physical ones there that Caleb was about. I mean, Caleb was about to face some giants that were going to try and kill him. You know, they weren't just trying to take a little bit of his money. They weren't just trying to steal his job from him. They were going to try to kill him. So, you know, a lot of us, we don't have giants nearly as big as this. But here's the thing. You saw the verse of scripture there. You saw where he said, can I ask you this question? Did Caleb fear? There was no fear in his life. You know why? Because God had given him this blessing of peace. But it wasn't like just alone. I mean, it was a thing that had become part of him. I mean, he was just... He just had a faith in him. I read that little phrase there at the end of those verses again to just remind you of that, what he was saying. He had a faith inside of him because this peace had become so much a part of him that no matter what it was he was going to face, he had a peace that, hey, if God told me that's my mountain, then I'm going to be able to get rid of those giants. Okay, somebody listen to me. Hear what we're saying, okay? We sang the song just a few moments ago. My chains are gone. Then why in the world are we still under the bondage of these things? We need to say, no matter what giants I'm going to face, God is going to enable me to get beyond this giant. He's going to enable me to get over this giant, to get through this giant. Whatever it takes, this thing that is in my life, God is going to enable me to overcome it. Okay, so let me take you to some scripture. One of my favorite scriptures on peace. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I got to tell you something else about giants. I'm glad I looked up there before because I need to tell you this. Giants aren't just big. You know what giants? You know what else giants are? They're scary, right? You know, I mean, you know, when you were a kid and you saw somebody big and tall and just maybe a little mean, you know, they were scary, weren't they? I mean, and these things that come into our lives, they scare us. They bring fear into our lives. We see giant problems. We see giant fears. I mean, you know, the doctor walks back in the room with the results of the test, and he tells you it doesn't look good. And what happens? All of a sudden, you've got this big giant in your life, and it's scary. Oh, praise God. Trace was telling you about it just not too long ago, just a few minutes ago, that not too long ago, the past 4 or 5 weeks, we've had just miracle after miracle. We've had somebody come forward and said, I've just had some preliminary test results come back, and I've got such and such disease. And we began praying. We prayed then. We prayed through the week. And then next test come back, I'm fine. The doctor said everything is fine. And so the giant, you know, it was huge for a moment, but it came down to size. Why? Because of the blessing of peace that God brought. And here's the thing, we got to remember this. It's not really, this is not really exciting to hear, okay? But his blessing of peace will get you through it for as long as you have to walk through it. That's not really exciting. Because you wanted me to say the blessing of peace of God is going to help you today because he's going to meet that need in the morning. I can't tell you. I cannot tell you that the need's going to be met in the morning. I can't tell you that the giant in your life is going to be defeated and destroyed tomorrow morning when you wake up. I cannot tell you that. But here's what I can tell you is as long as you need him standing beside you and holding you, he's going to be there. The blessing of peace, this peace that he wants to put in you. See, that's why he doesn't want you borrowing peace on a Sunday morning. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have a peace inside of you that it'll enable you not just today and not just tomorrow, but next week and next month and next year and the next year and the next year. Can God really do that? Let me tell you what. God did it for 45 years for Caleb. He wandered in a wilderness for 40 years and watched every other adult that left Egypt. He watched them die in the wilderness because they didn't have faith in God. They didn't have relationship. They didn't believe God was sovereign, and they did not accept the choosing that God had given to them, and so they died, and he watched them all die. Yet what happens when he's 80 years old? He doesn't go get his heel yet. First thing he does is he helps all these young whippersnappers around him. He helps them fight their battle and win their victories in the promised land. Then finally, 5 years later, he says, I'm 85 years old now, and it is time for me. He hadn't even seen that heel for 40 years. He hadn't even seen it, and now he's coming back for it, and he's believing. How could you hang on that long? Because of the peace of God, because of the confidence of God, that if God said this was going to happen, it is going to happen. And if God could keep Caleb watching everybody around him die in a wilderness, if he could keep Caleb for 40 years, and then through 5 years of battle, of taking over the promised land, God could keep him and keep this peace in him, that then now he could say the words that we just read, that therefore now give me this hill country because I'm going to take it. And even though there's giants there, God's going to help me drive them out just like he said he would. For 45 years, if God can sustain him in peace for 45 years, he can sustain you in peace for weeks, months, years, whatever it is that you need. So, let me take you to one of my favorite peace scriptures from Isaiah. You will keep him in perfect peace. Somebody say perfect. What does perfect mean? Man, there's no holes in it. There's no mistakes in it. There's no weak spots. It is perfect peace. That's the peace that God wants you to have. He doesn't want you borrowing on Sunday morning. He wants you to have peace. A peace that is perfect. A peace that never slips away from you. A peace that it never feels like, oh, I just don't know. He wants to keep you in perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. Just like over here, he's the sovereign, and he always will be. He, God, humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. He wants to keep you in this perfect peace. He wants you to have a perfect peace. You know, we're just not real enough. We just got to live these facades in our lives so that nobody knows we've got real problems. That is one of the biggest problems we have in the United States of America in our day and age, is we have to have perfect lives. I mean, everybody, you're supposed to have a perfect life. You're supposed to have a perfect marriage. You're supposed to have perfect kids. You're supposed to have perfect finances. Everything's supposed to be perfect. And because of this, we put on this facade, and we can't even raise our hand if I were to ask, how many of you need peace today? Well, about half the people who really, really, really need peace would probably raise their hand. The rest have got to act like, oh no, I got to keep this facade up. Can't let everybody know I got problems. Can't let everybody know I need prayer, because, you know, I just can't let anybody know that things aren't perfect in my marriage or in my home or in my finances or wherever. And so we keep this facade up. But if we were real, we were just not real enough, but if we were real this morning, we would admit to one another, I need peace. A peace that is perfect. A peace that will keep me no matter what comes my way, no matter what struggles I have tomorrow. I need a peace. I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 2 or 3 weeks. Some of you have lost jobs, and his peace has kept you. Some of you have lost family members, and his peace has kept you. Some of you have lost opportunities. His peace has kept you. You don't know what tomorrow looks like, but God says, I want to keep you in perfect peace. Well, how does he do it? Well, it's right there in the scriptures we just read. He said, first of all, because we kept our mind on him, that he is the Lord. He's the rock. He's an eternal rock. You go back to right there, the sovereign. He is the sovereign. That's who he is. He's the sovereign one. Because two things there that I say, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me, because he trusts in me. I trust in the fact that he's sovereign. Thank God he's sovereign. Thank God you're not sovereign. You know, we'd all be eating your favorite food every day of the week, you know, if you were sovereign. I mean, we'd all have chocolate every day of the week if Margie was sovereign, you know. You know, and that'd be a good thing for about 2 days, you know. Chocolate or ice cream, I guess we could break it up that way, you know, so it wouldn't be the same thing all the time. But thank God you're not sovereign. Thank God he's sovereign. I'm in peace today, not because some of you are in charge, but because the eternal rock who is sovereign, he's in charge. And I trust in that. And tomorrow morning when I wake up, remember when we preached this 3 weeks ago? When I preached this, we talked about every morning that I wake up, the same God is sovereign. The same God isn't, he didn't change the rules last night. What he told me to do yesterday is still true today. And if I did it yesterday, he's going to bless me for it again today. He didn't change the rules. My trust is in the fact that he is sovereign and that he humbles those who are exalted and he lifts up those who are low. Because if we blow ourselves out of perspective as far as our importance in the world or even our importance right here in our little four walls, and we blow ourselves, and that way God has to humble us. The chosen part reminds us of our relationship. But don't you see how these things do? Right there we find it in Isaiah when he's talking about the perfect peace. Where does the perfect peace come from? It comes from having right relationship with him. That we understand that he is sovereign and we trust in his sovereignty, and then we put ourselves under him. We don't exalt ourselves, but we humble ourselves to him. And in putting ourselves under him, say, God, I need you. It is in the fact that we trust in him and we say, God, I need you. The fact that we trust in his strong ability, and at the same time say, God, and not only are you the strong one, God, but I'm the weak one and I need you in that relationship, because we have the right relationship. Then we can say, I can have perfect peace. That's how God does it. That's how he brings it to us. His perfect peace comes because of right relationship. And that means in everything. I mean, if you've got a giant that you're still fighting day after day after day, I would say the first place to begin, if you want to figure out what it is that's not right, there is right there. Have you made him sovereign over that giant in your life? Or do you think that giant is bigger than God? No, nobody would say that, would they? But we act that way, don't we? Man, y'all are quiet. I've told you before. Heard an old preacher say a long, long time ago, when people get quiet when you're preaching, just hit them harder, because that means you're nailing them to the wall. We're afraid to say amen, because everybody will know I'm the one that needs peace. Everybody will know I'm the one that I've made that thing bigger than my God. You know, we would never say that, but that's the way we live. We wake up in the morning and say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Every morning we wake. And we need to remember, the first place to begin is with relationship right here. If you're having a problem with peace, the first place to begin, get back to your relationship and remember, first of all, that God is bigger. I don't care how big your giant is, God is bigger. Somebody say amen. Is God not bigger than my giant? Is he bigger than your giant? Is he bigger than any giant that anybody's ever faced in all of time and history? Amen. He's bigger. So if you're having a problem, the same place of having a problem with peace over and over and over, you just can't get victory over it. Start here with a relationship. I trust in you, God. I trust in your sovereign ability. I trust in your ability to win every battle that I face. I trust you to hold me. Do you trust God to hold you? Well, that's the scary part, isn't it? See, we know God. When God starts working and he starts fighting and he starts battling for us, and when we see God fighting, oh man, we all throw our shoulders back and say, okay, it's going to happen now. But when we don't see God move, come on, somebody. Nod your head, amen, oh me, or something. When we don't see God move and we got to trust in his holding power, that's when it gets tough. When we can't see God fighting our battles, when we don't see his mighty sword drawn out, then we kind of back off and say, oh, I don't know. Is God going to do this for me? I don't know. It's hard to trust in his holding power, but you need to trust in his holding power too. Whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever it is your giant is that is in your life, you need to trust in his holding power, that God's not just bigger than it, that he can whip it, you know, with just a finger snap, but that God sees what it's doing. He sees what it's trying to do to your future. He sees what it's trying to do to your marriage. He sees what it's trying to do to your kids. He sees what it's trying to do to your finances. He sees what it's trying to do to your health. He sees all that, and he's not asleep somewhere. He's got it all in hand, and he's going to work it out like it needs to be worked out. And you've got to have that confidence in his sovereign ability and wisdom to know how it needs to work out. That's the tough part, isn't it? That's the tough part, is confidence in his holding power. So this peace, this perfect peace that Pastor is telling you that God wants you to have, where is it that this peace is going to be manifest? Because I'm just not seeing it every day. I'm borrowing it on Sundays, like you said, but I'm not seeing it every day. And I wake up on Tuesday, and it's a different day than Monday. And it's like all the giants have come running back in. I thought things were better yesterday, but the giants have come. Where is this peace going to be manifest? See, here's the thing we don't understand. We kind of get this idea that God's going to give us peace by getting rid of all of our battles. That's not what he does. He doesn't do that. I mean, you know, y'all ever seen that movie, Crocodile Dundee? Or what was the movie? The Crocodile, is that the movie, name of the movie? Yeah, Crocodile Dundee. That's the name of it. You remember that movie? Remember when he's in New York City? I think it's maybe the first night that he's there. And they come, it's dark at night, and they come around the corner. All of a sudden, a guy comes out with a pocket knife, and, you know, he threatens them, wants their money, wants their wallets. And, you know, Nick Dundee, you know, he's not concerned. He's just kind of smiling, smirking just a little bit. You know, and this lady reporter, you know, that has brought him to New York, you know, she's kind of worried. She's nervous about all of this. She's saying, he's got a knife. But there's something that Nick knows that guy doesn't know and that she doesn't know. He just kind of smirks a little bit longer. He said, that's not a knife. And then he pulls out this knife about this long. And just kind of waves it in his face, and he drops his knife, and the little guy with a little bitty pocket knife kind of runs off into the dark, and everything is fine. Because he knew something they didn't know. Where's my confidence? Where's my trust? Where's it going to be manifest? My trust and my confidence is not manifest. My peace is not going to be manifest. God, and God's power and ability to deliver me is not going to be manifest sitting in an easy place. Your peace is going to be manifested in the middle of your battle. When you have confidence in the fact that God's got a knife bigger than anything your giant can pull out against you. And even if he hadn't pulled it out yet, you know, probably never again when that lady walked the dark streets of New York with Crocodile Dundee, never again probably did she worry, because she knew he could handle things and he had the big knife. When you get to that place and you start trusting in that, you've got to start trusting in that fact. Where is it going to be manifest? You remember Noah? Where was his peace manifest and shown? It was on a boat that he built himself. It was on a boat in the middle of a flood, a storm that lasted 40 days and 40 nights. That's where his peace in God was manifested. We run from the storm. We run from, I got to get out of here. I got to get free. I got to run from this. And God wants us to know, I want to show you my ability. Stand strong, stand firm. Have trust in me. It was in the storm where the peace was manifest. Abraham, you remember him? He had to leave his land so God could give him a new land. He had to leave his family. And where was the peace of God manifest? I don't have time to tell you all these stories I'm thinking about, but right now I'm just thinking about all the times that Abraham manifested the peace of God. When he let Lot pick hill country or the valleys, which do you want? You know what? To Abraham, it didn't matter because he had this peace of God that God's given all this to me anyway. It didn't matter because he was in the place he was supposed to be. Relationship was right. That's why the blessing of peace was coming on him. That's why it was there. David, you remember David? Where was peace manifested most? I mean, you know, I don't know, some people say, it was when he was sitting out on the rock watching his father's sheep and just singing all those lovely songs. No! That wasn't peace. Let me tell you where the peace was. The peace was when he walked down into the valley of Elah and he reached down in the brook and he picked up 5 stones and he put them in his bag and he walked down to where the giant was waiting on him and he pulled one of those stones out and put it in a sling and he started. He said, okay, you uncircumcised Philistine, let me tell you, you come against me with a spirit of sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of Israel, and the same God that delivered me out of the hand of the paw of the lion and the bear will deliver me out of your hand, and today I'm going to take your head off your shoulder. And I'm going to feed your carcass to the beast. That's where his peace was manifest. It was standing toe-to-toe, face-to-face with the giant that was in his life. You don't need peace sitting on a rock singing songs. You need peace when you're facing your giants. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where was their peace? Oh, man. You remember that story? Oh, I don't have time to tell you the story. But because they wholly followed God, they were thrown in a furnace. And they're thrown in a furnace. The king looked down thinking that they would already be burned up. They would be dead. And he looked down. And you know what he said? He said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw 3 men? He said, but I see 4. And the fourth is like the Son of God. He said, the fourth has the image of the Son of God. But the cool thing that he said there is he said, I see 4 walking around. We threw them bound into the fiery furnace, but I see them walking around. They're free. Their chains are gone. They've been set free. I see them walking around in the middle of where is your peace going to be manifest? In the middle of the fire that the devil wanted to destroy you in. In the middle of the thing that the giant was bringing into your life, that's where God's peace is going to be manifest. With Caleb right here, where was his peace manifest? Where was it shown? It was when he got to his hill. And there they were. Let's look at it. From Hebron, that's the name of the mountain that God had given to him. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the 3 Anakites. Now listen, there weren't just 3. There were 3 families. You know, that's the way the Bible kind of lists these things. He drove out these families. These were descendants of Anak. And these 3 families is who he drove out. He drove them out. This 85-year-old man, when he got to his hill, he already knew they were there. But when he got to his hill, what was his confidence? He had already told Joshua. He said, give me my mountain because I'm going over there and the giants that are there, God's going to help me drive them out because he said he would help me drive them out. And so this 85-year-old man just struts right over to the bottom of his hill and takes off up his hill to drive out the 3 families of the giants that are living there. What a peace. A peace that is able to keep a man for 45 years. A peace that is able to keep a man knowing that he's got... Listen, for 45 years, he didn't just know he had a promise. For 45 years, he knew he had some giants who were going to have to be driven out. What a peace. What an amazing peace of God that would enable him to hang on and trust and knowing that my God... For 45 years, I trust in the fact that my God is sovereign. And I'm going to face these giants one day. But by peace, by his peace and by his strength, I know I'm going to win. But it doesn't just stop there. Look what it says in the next verse. From there, after he took the hill, from there he marched against the people living in Debir. After he won his battle over this hill country, he went on somewhere else. You see, God's not just going to give you enough peace for the day. God wants you to have enough peace for the long haul. Because tomorrow there may be another giant show up. Or tomorrow there may be another battle that needs to be faced. Tomorrow there may be something else thrown, some obstacle thrown in your way of your future. Tomorrow there may be something else that happens against one of your children, and you will need to stand in the peace of God. From there he went on. What happened? After he saw God do it on that hill, man, he'd seen it so many times already. He saw God do all the 10 plagues of Egypt. He saw God bring water out of a rock. He saw God send manna out of heaven. He saw God open the Red Sea so they could walk through and then close the Red Sea back over on top of his enemy. He saw God do the thing at Jericho. He saw and also open the Jordan River as well. He saw God do all these things. And now he's seeing God deliver him and give him his mountain by running off those giants. And so now he's got faith to go on. I mean, right now, some of you just need a little bit of peace to make it through the day. God wants to give you enough peace to go on from there, to no longer be standing in the place today that you're standing in, that you were standing in 6 months from 6 months ago, and 6 months from now to no longer be standing in the place you're standing today. But he wants to give you a peace that'll help you go on from there. That's the peace God wants you to have. Peace that doesn't stifle you, a peace that doesn't bind you, a peace that doesn't keep you in the same place, but a peace that enables you to go on, but it doesn't end there either. Next verse, Jamie, come on if you will. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. He gets his hill country. And then from there, he goes on and gets some more. Man, he's got some peace now. And so now he's going to do something else. What is it he's going to do? He's a man that has a daughter. I'm a man that has a daughter. I am a man that has a daughter. And I've got a granddaughter. I know some of what he's thinking about right there. Look at what he's doing. He's asking, let me find a husband for my daughter. And there's a certain kind of husband he wants. He wants a husband that he knows can do the same thing that he's just done. He said, I got to find somebody that's like-minded with me to be a part of this family. I don't want somebody that does not trust in the sovereignty of God to marry my daughter. Uh-uh. I want a man who has confidence in God. A man who is able to stand in the middle of any battle going on around and have peace of God that it's going to be okay. And so he says, whoever attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer, I'm going to give that man with that kind of confidence and trust in God. God hadn't promised him Kiriath Sefer. I don't have time to tell you about it, but it was a really cool place, okay? You look it up, Google it when you get home and find out about it, okay? Look and see what it was about. It was a cool place. And he said, man, this is just a place that we need to have. The Israelites need to be running because it is just an important place. We need to have it. And so he says, whoever can take that, whoever's got enough confidence in God, they didn't have a promise. It wasn't fulfilling a promise. It was a dream of his own. I think we need this place. And so he said, let me find somebody. And that's why did he want his daughter to have such a man? Why did it matter? Back up to those two verses for me, Mike, if you will. Do you see this? From Heber and Caleb, what's the next word? Did it say he killed the giants? Did it say he slew them? Did it say they died? Did it say they were old and died from old age? No, he just drove them out. He drove out these three families. They ran off. What does that mean? That means One of these days, if they get to feeling strong, they might come back. Caleb wanted to make sure. Oh, one of these days when Caleb was dead, they might think, now that Caleb's dead, we'll go back and take that hill from his family. Caleb wanted to make sure that he left his family in good hands, because you know what? The giant isn't dead. I wish I could tell you, come down here to the front. We'll lay hands on every one of you, and all of your giants are going to die before you leave this place. Not going to happen. I wish I could tell you that, but it's not going to happen. But even if it did, unless you died and went to heaven right then, You're going to have another battle tomorrow. There'll be another giant, different name, different look, different area of your life, something. The giants are going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. So you know what you can do? You can give up. You can give up, or you can make up your mind. I'm going to trust His sovereignty. I'm going to choose His choosing. And I'm going to let Him bless me with a peace that is perfect to get through all. Beyond every giant. Beyond every giant. Stand with me if you will.